we heard the song, O Holy Night. And, you know, it's amazing how we tend to think of that night as so awesome and filled with awe and wonder. And we have this clash in our minds and our experience of Christmas, because it's a night of awe and wonder. It's that, oh, holy night. It's a glorious night, and the stars are brightly shining. And yet, it seems at the end of Christmas Day, there's no one that wants to get on their knees with glorious wonder and praise. We're exhausted, we're tired out, we're worn out from Christmas morning. But you know, as we ponder Christmas, that first Christmas, and our modern day Christmas, there's a lot of similarities, more similarities than you might think. You know, the house is often covered with trash and all these wrappings, ribbons, and bows, and gifts are piled up in corners of every room, and it seems dishes are stacked high in the sink, and the refrigerator is full of leftovers, and no one dares get near the bathroom scale, do we? We don't want to approach that. And we're all filled with wonder. We're wondering how on earth we're going to pay for all these gifts we bought over the last few weeks, aren't we? But all those decorations that were screaming at us, let me out of this prison you've had me in for 11 months, are now calling to us once again, put us back into our little box so we can go back into the garage or the attic where we were all cozy and warm. And so Christmas tends to be unpacked, celebrated, and then repacked up into the box and put away. But that's not really the way it should be. And that's not the way we want it to be in our lives this Christmas. You see, Christmas is not the end. It's the beginning. So when Christmas Day comes to an end, it's not a time when we just wonder, what's now? What's next? What do? Where we put everything away. But it's a time where we've begun something that should continue out throughout the whole year. And so I want to read from our Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. If you want, you can follow me there in the Bible. Matthew chapter 2. This is the authorized version of the three wise men. Verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, by you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, you're not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I might come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we see, after the first Christmas Day was over, there were still many things that were still taking place. We see a star that remained after the first Christmas, And that star reminds us of something. It reminds us that God still wants to guide us and direct our lives even after Christmas Day is over. And then we see some gifts that were given to this little babe. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But what does a baby have to do with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? He doesn't want those things. He doesn't seem to really need them, does he? But yet God had a plan and a purpose for those gifts. And those gifts would be used to provide for them for 2 years in the land of Egypt. And so we see some things that transcended and passed the Christmas day, the first Christmas. That was God's guidance through the star. That was God's provision through these gifts. But let's go on. As you'll remember, King Herod wanted to find out where baby Jesus was so that he might kill him. In verse 12, it goes on and it says, "Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they, the wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I have called my son.'" And so there we see once again God's gifts, and that God wants to be active in our lives even after Christmas. We see him active in the lives of Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus by communicating with him, not just from a distant place, not just in a dark place, but very real, coming to him in the night and sharing to him with him what he is to do and how he is to live his life. And so we see that God wants to be active in our lives beyond Christmas. And if you think about it, when Christmas Day ends, the world thinks it's all over. And for them it is. But for you and I, as God's children, when Christmas Day ends, it's not over. Because Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, never ends. Christmas has a beginning for the Christian, but no ending. At the women's tea yesterday, which was an amazing event for you ladies that were able to attend, you'll remember that Steve Beninato shared a verse, and that verse really made a profound impact on me as he shared it yesterday. And he was talking about the woman at the well who met Jesus in Samaria, and she wanted some water to drink so that she would never thirst again. And Jesus said something very profound to her. He said, "If you knew the gift of God and he who is speaking to you right now, you would ask me for water and I would give you living water." That's profound. If you knew the gift of God. And so that's a question that each one of us need to consider. You're here today. Let me ask you, do you know the gift of God? Have you experienced that gift? The Bible says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death, eternal destruction, and forever torment in hell. But the free gift of God, what is that? It's eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ came to die for us. So we celebrate that love through the gift of his Son. But that gift of his Son brought to us something that is an amazing gift. It's the gift of God. It's eternal life. And that's why, because the gift of God is eternal, that's why Christmas never ends. Christmas is just the beginning for you and me. And so what we're celebrating today, and we'll celebrate in the weeks to come, is all part of a new life that we've experienced because of Jesus Christ, because the reality of Christmas has become real in our hearts. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.